That you're going live, or you just have
no, this? We're just live.
Oh, okay.
Just like that.
Well, hello.
Hey. Okay, between the two of us, who's sexier? Let's just start with this, because it's pretty clear to me who wins the prize. Dr. Mike. Guys, you're never going to believe it. We'll wait for some live people to filter in. We're going to pull up your comments here. We are in New York City.
My hometown.
His hometown. And I'm here with Dr. Mike Varshavsky.
Yeah, you got
Did I say that right?
Yeah, you got it.
Hey, as a Demania, we know about the Demania. Funny. The funny last names are like a thing, dude.
Well, look, when you got a Z and a V together, that's when things get complicated.
Zhivago. Yes. Exactly. You're Russian by ancestry.
Yes.
Yeah.
Born Russian.
Wow.
Speak Russian fluently.
Wow.
Yeah. So in the hospitals, it helps.
Yeah. Balit.
Yes.
I love it.
Do you have Russian people in Vegas?
No, they just are. It's just a fake Russia.
Okay.
Like a hotel that looks like Russia, but it's not.
So Russian people coming to gamble and then getting sick.
Exactly. So Z-Pack, we got about 240 of you in right now. Listen to me very carefully. This is Dr. Mike. Now, you guys may or may not know him. I suspect a lot of you do, because he has more followers on social media than any other physician that I know of. And he's 27. Finished residency in July here in New Jersey. And was given a title on Instagram as Instagram's sexiest doctor, and was rewarded with 2.6 million followers. And I hate him so much. Do you understand how much I hate this guy? I hated him so much, I wanted to hate him. I wanted to watch his videos and destroy him in a vicious way. And then I watched the damn videos, and Tom and Logan were like, okay, let's rip this guy a new one, World Sex, and the People Magazine, Sexiest Doctor Alive, 2015.
Yep.
All right, so you can just see that like steam is coming off my bald head. I'm like, what am I, chopped liver? Like, I've been doing this since 2010. Like, I'm a Stanford-trained hospitalist, been in practice for 10 years, this and that and the other thing. And this upstart comes out and takes the sexiest doctor prize right from right under me. And so we literally wanted to tear him a new one. So we start watching his videos. And I'm like, wait a minute, this guy's, everything he says is spot on. Oh my God, he's the chosen one. He's like Dr. Oz with actual science, charm, and humor, and a young millennial audience, and he knows how to use social media. And I'm like, okay, that's it. I'm going to be in New York. I'm doing a gig tomorrow. We're at the Standard Hotel. I'm like, I'm just going to message him and see if he wants to be on the show. And he wrote back and was like, heck yeah. Now we're in a creepy hotel in New York.
With a bed right behind us.
Two sexy doctors, one considerably older. If you think some Kevin Spacey stuff's not going down, you got another thing coming. Dr. Mike, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Really,
really appreciate that. I mean, look, you said a lot of nice things about me, and I very appreciate that. But there's a lot to be said very nice about you, because I've been a fan for a very long time, watching your videos, watching your music videos, watching your discussions, your news, your show. I've read your comments, people. And I felt like there was going to be a moment in time that we might connect.
Boom!
And we talked about that earlier, that my videographer, I sent him your link to your website saying how I'm a fan, let's make a collab happen, let's do it, and here you are in New York 2 weeks later.
It's like, what are the odds that the gods have put us all in one spot? Very low. And yet here we are. So guys, Z-Pack, let's read a few comments here. Don't drop the soap.
Oh, yeah.
Says Lauren.
Well, wait till you see the shower.
Oh, we're going to get, so you know, we're in a, Z's on the road. We're going to take a tour of this hotel, but we're going to take a tour with the sexiest doctor alive. And for once, it isn't me. Cool, both of you. Don't drop this up. My two favorite social media docs, Andrea Bird.
Thank you, Andrea.
Thank you, Andrea.
Yeah.
Poor Dr. Z is jealous. You know it, Tiffany Ortez. I'm like, that's it. I'm going to destroy this guy. Then I like watched his videos and met him, and I'm like, oh, I really like this guy. Like, is that weird? We love you, Dr. Z-Dog. See, people are trying to make me feel better.
Well, look, that's important.
It is important.
Your fans have to support you.
It is important.
Yeah.
By the way, I just want to say something. So when Dr. Mike, and we're going to get into his background, we're going to have a real authentic discussion, because for the Z-Pack, we met just like half an hour ago.
Yeah, if that.
And immediately we're like, oh my gosh, we're like the two people on the planet that are doing this. You're hitting young people and using sexiness and brand and teaching non-medical people. And I'm an old dick who just screams and yells and rallies the medical people for systems transformation. How do we combine our powers for evil and good?
Well, look, you have two very important forces at play at the same time. You have the majority, which is a lot of people on social media that who can make a meaningful impact, but they can't do it without the guidance of doctors and the medical community, which you have. So if you bring those two pieces of the puzzle together, that's when something special happens. But you need both for the equation.
You have to have both.
Because I can only do so much in educating the public about medical issues and getting them excited about medicine. Someone's got to take care of them.
Well, so here's the thing, Dr. Mike. Let's back up for a second, because I wanted to hate you for a couple of reasons. I'll tell you why. Okay. I'm going to be authentic with you.
I like hating.
This is my authentic stance.
That's honesty.
It is.
I appreciate brutal honesty.
So you know in medicine there's a hierarchy of pain and training. There's a generational hierarchy.
Of course.
So as a Gen Xer, we feel like we suffered. We didn't have work hour limits. We worked 36s. We entered medicine at a time when our professional sort of prestige was eroding. We were clicking boxes. We straddled the difference between EHR and paper. We saw all this sort of autonomy slip away. And at the same time, we saw the rise of empowered patients and didn't know what to do with it. Now, then we see someone like you and we go, okay, you're just out of residency. You know, you're trained in the right thing. You're doing family medicine. And you already step out like you own the damn thing. The way that you teach, it's like you've been doing it for years. Everything you do is well researched, and it's all by you.
Yes.
Like, you don't have a team that does the research.
There is no one that I let touch any research because I just don't trust it.
It'd be like me letting Tom research, like, you know, cerebral edema.
Well, look, there's so much garbage out there on the internet, and garbage is really the right word. You may curse sometimes. I try and keep it clean.
He's clean.
But there's just a lot of garbage, and that's why I wanted to get into this. That's why I kept going when people in the medical community, can you imagine, I'm a resident with 100,000 followers, what my program director was telling me.
Right, what was he telling you?
I mean, in the beginning, he's like, Mike, maybe you want to stop this. Why are you doing that?
Yeah.
But the one thing that worked in my favor, my moment of viral fame, and viral fame doesn't sound that great for doctors because viral is usually
pretty bad. It's a bad connotation.
Bad connotation. Yeah. But before that happened, I finished my intern year already.
Yeah.
So people saw how serious I was about medicine.
Yeah.
They saw that I worked hard, that my residents enjoyed my company, my patients enjoyed my company. They saw that I stayed late, covered people's hours, and they realized that, yes, I became popular, but I'm still the same guy that I was on intern year. That really helped me a lot.
So once again, it has to do with how do you treat other people on the team?
Yes.
So not just your patients, not yourself, but everybody together.
Yeah.
And it sounds like you weren't a dick.
Yes. I mean, I don't understand why people... I'm going to curse for the first time.
Please.
Maybe I'm a dick. Curse moment. I don't understand why people are dicks. I don't get it.
I don't think dick's a curse word.
Oh my. I'll say penis.
Penis.
Member.
Why are people penises
why
members?
Why are people members?
Yes.
No, but I don't get it because it only ends up hurting you.
Yeah.
You may be angry, you may be wanting to vent frustration, but in the end, you think you're doing something to somebody else? No, you're just doing it to yourself.
Mm.
Every time I was angry, if there was a miscommunication, a nurse didn't want to do an EKG because she thought it was inappropriate when I knew it was appropriate, there was no purpose for me to yell or to get mad at it because it solves nothing, number one. And number two, it just makes me look stupid. Mm. And I've seen in my training doctors that have done that, and I promise myself I won't be that guy.
Have you made the mistake where you have lost your temper and you have done the wrong thing?
You know,
because I have done that.
In life, 100%.
Yeah.
In the hospital, I've kept it clean.
Really?
I'm proud to say I've kept
That's
it
really
clean.
Good.
Yes, even with my colleagues,
yeah,
when we've had arguments,
yeah,
they may have started crying, they may have done what, it was always hugs, it was always conversations, talking it out no matter what.
And
that was number one.
Yeah, so let me ask you a question. So you trained at Overlook Hospital in Summit,
yeah,
New Jersey.
Exactly.
I was born in Morristown. I lived in Summit. My parents did their residency after coming from India at Overlook. So we share something in common. And you know who else we share something in common,
yes,
with? You let me know about this. Dr. Oz. Dr. Oz, the MD who shall not be named. Who, I will say, I was worried when I met you, Dr. Mike, because my concern was, okay, early on you got into the social media game. Is this a guy who just wants to be Dr. Oz and is going to fall down this path to the dark side? And again, you don't have to say anything bad about Oz. I can do that, and I can say this. I think he's a great doctor. I think that the trappings of celebrity make it very hard to keep your integrity from a medical standpoint, especially among your tribe. The tribe of doctors and nurses and healthcare people. What are your thoughts on this? Like, how do you think you have differentiated?
So, I want to take on the topic of Dr. Oz, but I'm going to do it in a fair way. He's a brilliant surgeon. He trained at Overlook Medical Center. My program director worked directly with him. When my program director had complicated patients whose coronary arteries were too small to be operated on by some other doctors, he was the guy to take them. So he is a talented guy. He's a talented surgeon, amazing what he does. And when he started doing the Dr. Oz show, it was amazing. But I'll tell you what ruined him. He ran out of content.
Yeah.
When you run out of content, producers start telling you what to do. You let other people do research for you. You end up things like apple cider vinegar cures diabetes.
It doesn't?
It does not.
Damn you, Dr. Mike. Another sacred cow. No, I think that's spot on. I think that's spot on because I don't envy his position of having to generate so much content on a daily basis.
Yeah.
And this is the thing I want to tell you guys, Deepak. I've become notorious for being really mean to doctors that I don't respect. And I'm going to try to take a lesson from Dr. Mike. What Dr. Mike does is he actually does kind of transcend that and just says, no, I'm just going to try to set a better example. Part of my brand is kind of being a dick from time to time and being a little edgy and
everyone has their
having
position.
A rap beef.
Look, everyone has to have their position and everyone has to use their abilities to make the world something better. My way is to be peaceful about it and give my approach and use my marketing thing of the sexy doctor thing. Your way is to make a rap beef. That's what makes you special. So why shy away from that?
Well, you know, special in terms of wear a helmet and drive the short bus special because I have often been complimented with that. Well, this is actually interesting. The sexy doctor thing. I'm going to ask you a serious question because when I look at your streams on Instagram or I look at your live streams, I look at my comments. Look at my comments. So let's go back down to the bottom here where we started actually talking about stuff. False. I'd be totally physically intimidated by you, however compliant. Oh, she's talking to someone else. Thanks for going out there and giving Dio's a good name, Dio's. Alexandra Livingston. I asked my family doc. He said he's no longer being a doctor. Okay. Carmella Russell.
Yeah, good question, Carmella.
So the comments of the Z-Pack, that's our tribe, are always, they're provocative, they're no nonsense, they come from the heart of authenticity. Now, when I read the comments on your stuff, a lot of them are like, oh my God, I have a fever and Dr. Mike is the cure. Oh my God, the sexy doctor. So you created this brand and I actually applaud you for being able to get the reach. But now is it how do you manage it now that you've unleashed this thing?
So the way that I view it is I sort of have two parts of my identity I have to maintain. The serious doctor that does his own research, that knows what's going on, up to date, literally, up to date.
Yeah, exactly.
And
that's
then the other doctor, part of my doctor, is the sexy doctor thing. Mm-hmm. So you have the legitimate doctor and you have the sexy doctor.
Right.
They both help each other function. I'll tell you why.
Tell me how, yeah.
Real doctor is great. Sees 30 patients a day, 40 patients a day, sometimes 50 if you get these crazy, offices that are making you do that. But sexy doctor guy reaches 2.6 million people at home. So can sexy doctor guy get smart doctor guy and get smart doctor guy to give sexy doctor guy all this advice in a fun way, giving content, reaching as many people as possible, and taking advantage of the marketing of the sexy guy without needing to say, you'll lose 30 pounds in 30 days eating cookies. Because that exists.
That does exist. That
exists. Or the grapefruit diet, whatever it is.
We won't say who. Well, this is fascinating to me because, again, you're using sexy doctor as kind of a Trojan horse.
Yep.
And this is how I've described my own thing. So people are like, aren't you just a clown, rapping, buffoon, makes parody videos, poking fun at the system, throwing wrenches in the system? Yeah, but that's a Trojan horse. They come for that and they laugh at that, but then they stay to talk about how do we build Health 3.0? Because there is the Stanford-trained hospitalist who's done this for a long time, who cares deeply about patients and his colleagues, who wants to make it better. So you've done the same thing. Now what the criticism you're going to get is that you don't have enough experience in the real world yet.
And I have an answer to that.
Ah.
So the real world for my generation in medicine, I believe, has changed. If I was a surgeon, I'd buy that I don't have enough experience.
Sure.
I don't have the hands-on experience with the hours in the operating
room. 10,000 hours of mastery,
yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Don't have that. Mm-hmm. What I do have is I have up-to-date. I have good sources. I know who is the leading researcher in each field, where to go to get the right information, not claiming I know it. I know how to get it, I know how to digest it, and I know how to explain it. That doesn't take years of experience. That's what I do. That's what I found my talent to be. And because I'm just a guy from Brooklyn that grew up down the street, when I learn stuff, really complex topics, diabetes, immunotherapy, whatever it is, I'm learning it like a retarded Brooklyn guy that I was growing up. I was stupid. I was running around with my friends.
Yeah.
So when I learn it, I'm like, okay, so if I'm a linebacker and I'm the white blood cell, or if I'm guarding this guy in basketball and he's a white blood cell. So when I learn it that way, metaphors, trying to break it down to myself,
yeah,
that's how I explain it to my patients who aren't medically trained. And it really works. It works in a unique way to the point where, you know what my biggest happiness with all of this is I'm convincing people that have never been convinced that this is possible, that a young doctor can actually make this difference. I go on Fox Business every week. I have an appearance there. Mm. And generally, it's a serious show where people are talking about how much money this makes, the quarterly interest rates, and whatever it is, all above my pay grade. Mm. And I come on and I tell them why hydrogenated water is BS and explain to them medically why, by giving them one line saying, look, this study looked at some markers in your urine, but it didn't really look at if it cured anything down the line or it made any end stage result differences. And they're like, oh, we didn't know that that was important. Boom, I did my job. I came on a sexy doctor, but I educated people at home why they don't need to spend $4 on a pouch of water.
So guys, this is what hooked me when I saw his videos. Because again, I was expecting sexy doctor. And I wanted to take a massive shit on it. Like, me and Tom and Logan were watching like this. Oh, this is going to be so good. Here he comes. He's explaining the differences between DOs and MDs. Oh my gosh, he's talking about vaccines. This is going to be amazing. We're going to rip this beautiful, sexy man 3 new orifices. And then we watched it and I'm like, that shit was on point. That was well-researched. It was balanced. It was communicated well. Now, you could make two arguments. You could say, yes, the millennial sensibility of take the data instead of memorizing it, actually parse it in real time and learn how to learn in real time, and then express it to people, as you said, like as a line. You know, the guy who grew up in Brooklyn who just explains it to simply.
Yeah.
But, or you could say, well, you need the 10,000 hours of experience to know the nuance. Now, I will say this. It's a double-edged sword, the 10,000 hours of experience, because it's a kind of conditioning.
Yep.
I'm heavily conditioned, which is great. Like, I'm very conditioned on some of the right stuff, but there's some stuff that I'm conditioned incorrectly about. And the new stuff comes out, and I will resist, like anybody who's been conditioned. So, in a way, you're a tabula rasa that knows how to process it. That's good. The lack of experience isn't perfect, but it can have its downsides.
100%.
So
look, I'm 27, right?
God damn you.
I've done as much as I could to this point. And the comment earlier that I stopped working,
yeah.
I graduated July 1st.
Yep.
I got a New York medical license, realized that my hospital wanted me because they were happy with my work. So I had to reapply for a New Jersey license. Takes 2 months for that. Takes another month for your controlled drug substance certificate. And now it's November. I'm going to start working back in the hospital again with my continuity patients. So I'm going to continue building and getting better. I'm not perfect in this. I'm learning.
You have to stay humble like that, because one of the things I've noticed is even after so many years of seeing patients, when I teed it back to do this more full time, I got so much shit from people. And because doctors, nurses, etc., you're not in the tribe unless you're doing it like they are and getting hurt constantly. But again, your point, which I've made, we can help a lot more people.
Yeah.
Doing a mix of these things and still seeing patients, but not doing it 24/7.
Of course.
Now, one of the things I wanted to mention, because we have a donate button here, and I want to explain that because we forgot the Limitless Tomorrow Foundation.
Yeah.
So at the bottom, you'll see a little donate button. The reason I put that up is that this is your organization.
Yep.
Tell us about it.
Totally. So in the midst of residency, I had this fame, and obviously I couldn't go around giving medical advice as a resident, even though I did that somewhat. Which is funny to say.
Which again, it's a little bit. Yeah.
It's a little strange, but I wasn't talking about anything mind-blowing. I was talking about how to eat healthy.
Eat better, right. Yeah, exercise,
so it was simple stuff, but I wanted to do something meaningful, and I wanted to celebrate those who were like myself. Was I ranked in the top 10 in my class? Never. But I was 20. Yeah. But guess what? 20 never got those scholarships. 20 never got those opportunities. And why wasn't I 20? Could I have been number one? Maybe. I think I could have. But I spent time being outside in the world, communicating with people, stepping outside of my comfort zone, trying to learn what fashion is about, trying to learn what people in the inner circles in New York City actually think about medicine and what they view life like, and trying to expand my horizons that way. So when I did that, I said, maybe there's other people doing the same thing. So I launched Limitless Tomorrow. I did all the 501c3 paperwork myself.
By the way, that's fucking brutal.
Yes.
It's brutal.
There's so articles of incorporation, articles of dissolution, whatever.
Yep.
Everything I did myself. I went online, I did the research, I figured out how to do it, and I did it. Created the website myself. It's not amazing, and it's not updated nearly as much as it should be, but everything was done on my own. And we've done some really amazing stuff with this. The way we actually got our first funding was a company called Coffee Meets Bagel. Mm. They were actually on Shark Tank, and Mark Cuban offered them, I think, $30 million for their company, and they turned it down.
Wow.
So it's actually from Stanford.
Nerds.
They're from Stanford.
Yeah.
And they have this company. It was a dating website. And they said, Dr. Mike, we like what you do. And our site is about meeting good people that are, you know, professionals and interesting. Can we raffle off a date with you for charity where we'll give all your money to your new foundation and it'll help us build, you know, attention for our website and our app? Mm-hmm. I said, absolutely. Let's make it happen. I'm outside of the box thinker. Let's do it. $100,000
Wow.
At $10 a ticket.
And what do you do with the money? Who are you helping?
So far, we've helped. 2 years in a row, Susan G. Komen, Race for the Cure in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Stand Up to the Cancer in UK. Because in the UK, they're a lot more flexible with their television. I was the lead medical expert on their five-hour live telethon. We did a rectal exam on live TV on a prosthetic robot.
Oh.
But it was a patient lying there, and the butt looked real. So
That's dope.
Exactly.
That's dope.
It was really good.
And it was British, so they spelled butt with like a O-U-T.
Well, so they kept making fun of my accent, number one, because I think I have a little Brooklyn thing.
You do,
on.
Yeah.
And one of the bits was we dropped huge testicles from the thing. I said, I brought my friends from New York, and she's like, I like how you say it, right up the bum, because that's how they wrote the initial script, so I memorized it, up the bum.
Up the bum.
Up the bum. So that's a
right
finger up the bum.
Hello, governor.
So we did that. We gave them money. Recently, we just gave $30,000 to a John Hopkins ENT resident who created this most amazing device. Check this out. So if you have someone with a congenital or traumatic nose deformity, and the same thing with an ear, the way that they do the surgery now is they take cartilage from your rib, and they literally sculpt it there. The doctor has to sit in the OR and sculpt it. That's OR time, and that's a skilled surgeon. Third world countries don't have OR time. They don't have skilled surgeons that are able to sculpt. Mm. 3D printing is a mess because you have rejections and it doesn't go well.
Mm-hmm.
He created a cookie cutter press where it's like a surgical blade that creates all the parts of the nose and the ear in different sizes where you take the cartilage and you just cookie press it. The simplest thing that you could take anywhere, no electricity needed, nothing.
And
just replacing the blades.
Right.
So we gave him the $30,000. He created the mold for it, and they're going to start testing.
That's great.
So this is the kind of stuff.
Almost like an incubator, like teaching a person to fish with cartilage.
Exactly.
That's amazing. So if you guys want to help him out, feel free to donate. This was my idea. He didn't ask me to do this. I was like, let's put a button
very
in.
Kind,
to,
yes.
Because so again, he's not here to raise money for his charity. I just really, the more I talk to him, I'm like, we should support people who are trying to do the right thing, our healthcare brothers and sisters, and he is doing that. And believe me, y'all know me, I want to take a shit on him because he's awesome and I hate him. Let's read some comments. Let's go down to the bottom here and see. Raffle date. Where do I get tickets? Andrea
she's
Rodriguez.
A year too late.
Yeah, the angry faces are distracting. They're mad at me because I'm so beautiful.
Okay.
Let's see. How did the raffle date go?
Oh, good
says
question.
Kylie Holloway.
Lovely young girl from Florida.
Ah.
Her mom recommended she get the ticket because she heard about it at a hair salon. And it was her first time in New York. She was so overwhelmed. I felt so bad because I was dating somebody at the time, too.
Yeah.
Because it took so long to get this thing organized.
Sexy doctor.
So she came to the restaurant. We had a nice chat. We were very friendly. She was super sweet. I was kind enough to hook her up with some of my connections in New York, showed all her friends a really good time. So
awesome.
She got all that thrown in as well.
Awesome,
but unfortunately,
awesome.
It didn't work out romantically.
Well, you know what? That's, you know, it is what it is. It's funny. So someone's just hitting the angry button for fun.
Okay.
And people are like, who is this person?
I'm curious.
Everyone's like, yeah, it's kind of interesting. So don't worry. We'll find you and destroy you. Or we'll give you a high five and a date.
I like hate. So if there's any question that you have,
yeah, bring it properly.
I'm all for it.
Bring it properly. It's almost like there's something wrong in the Matrix because we know that never happens. Everyone's like, is there a glitch here?
Someone with Overlook.
Overlook. Representing Overlook, Dr. Mike Micheline Steuben.
Oh, hey, Steuben.
Yeah.
How are you?
Oh, you can be pretty and smart too, Carol Grantham. No, you can't.
Guys, come on, right there.
Why have pain clinics and then be treated like a criminal because the family doc cannot help my pain doc? Wanted to get a CAT scan. Told him the next time he did it. Okay, so this is Carmella has trouble probably with chronic pain. So we get a lot of patients with chronic pain who are worried that the pendulum is swinging too far on the opioid.
Yes. Thing. Yep, that's actually the last thing that I said when I was on Fox Business. They asked me, how do you solve the opioid crisis? I'm like, guys, first of all, are you kidding me? But I'll tell you one thing. I hate that this has put us in a predicament where if I prescribe the opioids, I'm not helping the person that's addicted.
Right.
If I don't prescribe the opioids, I'm not helping the person that's in pain.
Right.
So now we're stuck between a rock and a hard place.
You know, and you know, so you are too young to remember this, but we were taught in residency that we're under treating pain and that you cannot get addicted if you give opioids to people who are having real pain, which was wrong. And it was pushed more by Purdue and these pharmaceutical companies. And so now we're left with this pendulum swinging the other way, where we're back in a situation. The reason all that came up is that we weren't able to manage pain properly.
Yep.
Now we're back in a position. Now the other thing is that we need to understand chronic pain better, because chronic pain is not an opioid deficiency yes. state. It is not, you know, vitamin, you know, dilaudid deficient individual. It's someone who may have trauma. There may be components of central sensitization. There may be rewiring that goes on where their pain threshold is wrong. But we are managing it in a way where we're hitting it with a hammer. We ought to be treating the underlying thing. And that means research. It means better pain training for medical professionals, yep. that sort of thing. When I saw your vaccine video, again, I was expecting it to be something horribly pandery to the sure. anti-vaxxers. And yes, it was yes. on point, amazing, and perfect. And at the end, you said, get your vaccine. We don't have 100% information on anything in the world, but this is the state of the knowledge right now.
What do you think about that? That's actually a question I have for you. What do you think when doctors say, we don't know? I don't know. Do you see doctors saying that enough?
They don't say it enough. I think that proves to me that this doctor knows what the hell he's talking about, because we don't know so much stuff. And in the minute we admit that to patients, I don't think it creates fear. I think it creates accountability and a trust, because you say, look, we're not perfect, but this is what I would do. This is what I always say. I don't know. But if it were my mom or my yep. daughter, I would do this. In fact, I have done this. Yeah, there's a tiny risk of, say, something like Guillain-Barré syndrome.
Of course.
But if I was going to risk my daughter getting measles or pertussis or something like that versus a minuscule risk of Guillain-Barré, I would easily do the vaccination, especially when I do the math on it's helping all of society with herd immunity. And it's not associated with autism. It's just yep. not. There's no evidence that it is. So take that off
the plate. You know, there's a whole documentary coming out about that, about Wakefield.
Oh, another one?
Oh, huge.
But not
one.
A pro-Wakefield documentary.
Pro.
Another
and
one?
Get this.
Oh, God.
One of the ads yeah. aired before my vaccine bit.
Of course it did.
How
yeah,
funny
so they put
that?
The ad on your vaccine
yeah.
video?
And on top of this,
assholes.
They sometimes put vitamin ads on my
Anti-vitamin.
Our vitamins fake news bit, which obviously I said, you know, most of it is nonsense. So
just yesterday,
awesome
it's
that?
Amazing. Just yesterday, I was in Target getting a flu shot with the boys, mm-hmm. and we got it live on TV.
Well done.
TV. This isn't TV. This
is
guy's
TV.
On TV.
No, this is TV.
This is like fake news TV. No, actually, this is what I love. I look. So
this,
I,
is the fu- this is the
future. This is the future. You know.
Every executive I meet in the TV space
yeah.
is trying to figure this out. They're confused. They don't
yeah,
know
they
what
don't
this
know.
Is. They see these angry faces, and
yeah.
they think this is something sexual.
Oh my
God. They don't know what's going on.
Somebody's trying to give me an angry face. No, it's absolutely true, and this is the thing. We're first movers in this space.
Mm-hmm.
And as such, as understanding it, it's we own this space. And the big companies and these big players, they have no effing idea what to do with this. You, Z-Pak, understand exactly what to do with this. And that's how we're going to transform shit, because we have a platform that nobody knows what to do with except for us.
Yeah.
And so we go to Target, we get our flu shot, we're like, and I made a statement. If you're a healthcare provider and you don't get a flu shot because you think it gives you the flu or some other bullshit reason, you're a dick. And you need to leave healthcare. And so that's, I get to say stuff like that because that's who I am and I have to do that. But we then went to the vitamin aisle and I'm like, 90% of this, 95% of this is total horseshit.
Yes.
If you have a deficiency, say if you're pregnant, yes, yes, yes. Otherwise, no. So I'm glad we agree on that
100%
shit.
Agree.
You
look,
know,
I've watched a lot of your videos. I watched your What the Health response video.
Mm-hmm.
Not only did I watch your full response, and your outtakes, whatever that second video was. I also watched Garth Davis's response.
Oh,
to
yeah.
Your
He's coming on the show.
You know, he was on The Doctors talking about What the Health. Did you see those clips?
So
I watched them like 2 days ago.
So listen to me very carefully, my friend. They emailed me.
The doctor's show?
2 days before The Doctors did.
Oh.
And said Garth Davis and his crew are going to be on The Doctors.
Yeah, Kip was there too.
Yeah, Kip. Come on and debate them. And I'm like, I'm giving a talk in Phoenix. And also, fuck no, because that sounds stupid. What you're going to do is you're going to soundbite it. And I talked to Garth afterwards, because he's coming on my show in
okay.
December, because we're actually friends.
Okay.
Like, I attacked him because I thought what he said, the way he was taken out of context in,
sure.
in the movie was horse crap. And but then his response was so, I could read between the lines. I was like, partially he's a little bit like, well, why is another doctor? I'm trying to do the right thing. And partially, he was kind of awesome about his response.
Yeah.
So then we had a back and forth, and so we're buddies. This is how doctors disagree.
Well, look, that's good.
Yeah.
Did you watch them on the show?
No, I didn't.
Okay,
tell me.
So I'll tell you
yeah,
what
yeah.
happened. Travis, you know
yeah.
Dr. Travis,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
the host.
Travis Stork.
Yes, Stork. He went off on Garth Davis.
What?
Went off.
Wow.
I did not expect that because he's sort of a pacifist. He's
Guy. He's always like mellow. Yeah.
So he went off. I'm forgetting her name. Dr. Sandra, the dermatologist.
Oh, yeah, the dermatologist.
She's also great. Also went off on them in a much kinder way because she's very sweet in her demeanor. But also was very disappointed in them and voiced it, which I was surprised. I didn't think they would go that hard on the documentary.
Right, right, right.
But they did. And the things that they pointed out were very good. They had a guest endocrinologist.
Bob Lustig.
Yes.
Who is a known sort of low-carb guy. I actually like his work. But I heard he was a real, he was mean.
Yeah, he went off really bad.
So,
but I'm proud of the doctors for doing that.
Yeah.
And they also had the doctor on, I forgot his name, but he wrote The Plant Paradox.
Oh, Neil Bernard.
Yeah.
The other
Bernard's
guy.
The other one.
No, I know who you're talking about. The guy.
Yes, yes.
The guy.
Plant Paradox.
The guy. Yeah, yeah.
Whatever. Yeah, something with the
G. Yeah.
Yeah, so he wrote Plant Paradox. And they had one of the doctors. I've never seen anyone get ripped by a cardiologist so bad.
Oh!
The cardiologist destroyed him to the point where the Plant Paradox guy was like, he's like, well, you know, I tell people to eat beans, but just pressure cook. He had no idea what to say. So I appreciate the doctor's show for doing
it. You know what? And I went on the doctors, and I actually found them to be very nice guys, especially the plastic surgeon.
Yeah, Orden.
Orden is so – he's so wonderfully fatherly and kind.
And he's silly.
And he understands. Silly.
He understands what he doesn't know.
Exactly. He's really quick to say, I don't have any – I just – you know, I'm a plastic surgeon. Someone said Sandra Lee. Is that the name?
Yeah, Sandra Lee.
Yeah, Sandra Lee. Dr. Ashley Schultz. And then Mark Busquet loves Dr. Lustig. We follow each other on Twitter. So do I follow Dr. Lustig. As well, he Lustig has a style that's just he's an ass about stuff. Now this is my thing. Okay, when Garth comes on my show, I don't want to debate him about stuff because I actually think the vegan diet is great. It's just not for me, and it's not for a lot of people. They want the one size fits all, and I disagree with that.
Sure,
but
what do you think about a Garth saying that sugar does not cause diabetes?
That,
I mean,
that's crazy.
It's not,
and that I'll debate him.
Yeah,
that I'll debate him.
But I don't get why he's saying that.
I
don't even understand what he's quoting when he's saying
that. He sent me a copy of his book, and I haven't had a chance to read it because it takes time to read a book. But I'm going to read it and see what his point is.
The proteinaholic.
The proteinaholic, right. And I want to see what he's going on because I'm a low-carb guy. Low-carb meaning more Mediterranean. Like,
sure.
I don't cut out all. I'm not ketosis. I did that for a while. It wasn't for me because
I'm a fan of Mediterranean.
Of Mediterranean.
Yeah.
And
I had a shepherd's salad yesterday, so.
And this guy is ripped, okay? If I want to bump my views, I'll just make him take his shirt off, and that'll be a full Kevin Spacey in this creepy hotel room.
Poor Kevin Spacey.
I know,
Very wrong
the victims,
of his actions.
Yes. But I still feel bad because I'm a House of Cards fan.
I am a House of Cards
fan. And I've done a few parodies of Dr. House of Cards.
Well, look, this is something that actually your viewers should know, we all should take really a moment for. We all love to play victim, right?
Yeah.
We see that in our society. Victim card gets played all the time.
Yep.
And I'll tell you an example of when my dad tried to play victim recently. Well, he put me in as a victim. And I had to sort of snap him out of it because he came in as an Eastern Bloc hard dad.
Yeah.
But now he's sort of becoming that like complaining about everything mode.
Oh, yeah.
And I've been bummed.
And my dad does the same thing.
See, it's happening.
Yeah, immigrant parents.
It's happening.
Yeah.
So in the last 3 weeks or so, because there's been a lot of terrorist activity across the world, I've gotten kicked. So doctors get kicked off on shows when there's a terrorist attack.
Yeah.
So if you're about to go on and talk about lupus and there's a terrorist attack, they're like, first
they're
thing to go is lupus.
Yeah.
So I've gotten kicked off.
Which is too bad
because
lupus affects more people than terrorists.
Agreed. Yeah. But I understand what they're doing.
You get it. Yeah.
So I get the business aspect. So whatever. And yesterday I was supposed to do two news sections and I got booted. My dad called and said, how did they go? And I'm like, oh, I didn't get to do them because of terrorism. He's like, well, aren't you getting unlucky because of all these terrorist attacks? I'm like, whoa. Dad.
Yeah.
I'm throwing you under the bus right now. But the people that are getting unlucky, the people that are getting hurt and injured.
Yeah.
Let's put it in perspective. And he actually was like, thank you for that.
Thank you.
Because sometimes we sort of lose ourselves in our mind. And need to catch ourselves what's going on.
Believe me, we've all been there. You know, that's actually funny because that's something my dad would do too. In fact, I think they did that because I was supposed to come to New York and then this thing happened and they're like, my dad was like, you know, I don't know if you should go because, you know, you don't bike, but I'm pretty sure you're going to get killed. And here's the thing. As I was driving through New York, your city is amazing.
Yeah.
And your city is never going to be fazed by stuff like this. But
I city biked yesterday
at
8 p.m. on the same path.
On the same
path. Same path. No one was there except me.
So, can you hear us? Because I'm just going to turn it up for you if you can.
Yeah,
so, this is the thing. As I'm driving through, I'm looking at this amazing city. One of the most – it's the greatest testament to human civilization that the planet has ever seen.
Yep.
You see a Middle Eastern halal – restaurant next to a Chinese restaurant, next to an American restaurant, the mass of humanity, everybody getting from point, these epic, you know, testaments to human ingenuity and innovation, art and fashion and science and good people colliding in a sacred space, which is the city. And you look at that and you go, the terrorists are fucking jealous of us, and that's why they do this shit, because there's no other explanation for that barbaric behavior, because this is a citadel. So, New York, we love you for real. So I hear you on that, man. Let's see if we've got
let's see if got some comments guidance here. Kevin Spacey's a known lech.
Is he a known lech?
I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, Christie. Maybe he is. They've canceled House of Cards. I know, Anne.
I heard that.
I know.
Season 6.
I know. It was getting dumb anyways.
That's true.
Yeah.
Oh, sugar does not cause type 1 diabetes. It can lead to type 2 diabetes. Big difference. I think he was talking about type 2 diabetes.
So,
he said sugar does not cause type 2 diabetes either.
So, Tara, let me respond to this carefully, because this was something that came up, and it's a trap that you're going to fall into. And let me give you some...
As your mentor, as your guru, okay?
Please.
I'm going to tell you.
Okay.
I am telling you. You trained in the same place that my parents trained. I feel an affiliation.
Let's do it.
Never talk about diabetes without clarifying type 1 or type 2. And I'll tell you why. Because type 1 mothers and children... Why am I still talking like this? I don't know. Type 1 mothers and children, they deeply are hurt when they are conflated with type 2, because they feel like this is not, obviously, it's not a lifestyle choice. They were born with this. It is a developed autoimmune disease. And they are judged constantly. Why don't you eat less crap? Why don't you do this, that? And if you conflate them, they will suffer.
100%.
So that's what she's trying to point out, is yes, sugar does not cause type 1 diabetes.
Agreed.
And I fell into this trap. I made a meme. You want to hear this story?
Yeah.
This is a good story.
Yeah, tell me.
So, and it reminds me of how you can screw up social media.
Yeah.
And so it was one of those, you know, those foot shoes that look like socks. They have individual toes.
I have them.
Of course you do. I was going to say only douchebags wear them. But
I bought them. I wore them once. And I'm like, okay, I bought them. That's it.
Like,
I bought them to buy them.
And then you had it. Do you watch Silicon Valley at all?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, so
I love that show.
Gavin Belson has his feet up and he's got those on.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's perfect.
Vibram.
So it had, the meme was, you see the foot shoe like this, but it's missing, it's photoshopped out two toes. And it says, the perfect footwear for that non-compliant diabetic in your life. Now, as a type 2 diabetic, we've seen non-compliance, meaning more like it's a non-adherence to, it's a non-collaboration with a team. And that can be a doctor's fault, can be a health coach's fault, it can be a nurse's fault, can be the patient's fault. Usually it's all those things.
Yeah.
And you lose toes. So we put it up as like, well, this is a commentary on adherence and how you can have complications. Well, the type 1s, we didn't clarify type 1 or type 2. Type 1s were so offended. And honestly, I absolutely get it.
I get it.
Because you're saying, here's someone who's born, you know, at age 6, they're diagnosed with it. At age 46, they could lose a toe. And they could have really good control all their life. They could have a pump. They could have all this and still lose a toe. And you're going to make fun of that. And you're a this is the worst part. You're a doctor.
Yep.
And this is the worst part. Doctors already don't hear us as moms.
We should create a new name for diabetes 1 and diabetes 2.
Yeah, like something more legit.
Like diabetes type 2 should be diabetes.
Exactly. Like, well, I have diabetes, and that's type 2. And then autoimmune pancreatic failure is type, or A.
Beta cell failure.
Yeah, beta cell failure.
Yeah,
yeah, that's...
Because, I mean, as similar as they are, they're very different.
They're very different. And, you know, the end stage of both can look the same with pancreatic burnout. But I think... it's fascinating to me. And again, like, it just shows, like, you can be insensitive and not know you're doing it.
Look, someone just wrote something so good on my wall the other day. Oh, I was doing a video that I do on my channel called Curbside Consult.
Yeah. Oh, you go out in the street.
I go on the street and just say, hey, I'm a doctor. Can I answer a question for you? And that's really hard.
By the way, I'm going to interrupt you for a second.
Okay.
A, it's hard. B, you can do it because you're tall. Stand up for a second. Stand up. He can do it.
Oh, shit. I need a doctor. This is what happens when you
look at the difference here. Look, he's gonna hit his head. Okay, I'm 5'5". He's 6'3". Look at the difference. So he can go on the street and interview anyone and look dope. I do it. I look like a damn midget, like trying to climb somebody. So anyway, sorry. I made you bump your head.
All in good fun.
It was dope. Are you having a subdural right now?
No.
Okay, good.
I've taken a lot of knocks in boxing. And I know that's not healthy.
You do boxing. Yeah. Don't get dementia pugilistica.
Yeah, I might.
Or chronic traumatic
encephalopathy.
Or CTE. Yeah.
Although I've seen some stuff about CTE that isn't so promising, meaning that it could be a little overblown in the sense of on pathologies.
Right.
Because I was really passionate about sports medicine when I first went into family medicine. And I went to all the sports conferences.
Yeah.
And I saw a pathologist get on stage and destroy the whole concept of CTE, where he took healthy brains of people that never experienced any football or anything and just saw the same things.
On path. Yeah.
On path. Yeah. So it's a lot trickier than how people are making out to be.
Interesting.
So that's something we'll
maybe we'll talk about that sometime on the show.
Because CTE is important.
So you go out on the street and you did this thing, curbside consult.
Yep. Well, because we have curbside consult in medicine, right?
Right.
It's like when you talk to a fellow specialist without giving a patient information.
Mm-hmm.
So I was going to call it street medicine, curbside consult. I don't know what to call it. But we went outside. We asked people
questions. I like curbside consult. That's good.
I think you see what he did in the medical community.
Yeah, yeah. And it's good for the medical people, yeah.
And there was one woman who asked me about if sperm decrease. She literally phrased like this: "Does sperm decrease after 35 or something?" And I'm like, "What do you mean by that?" She said, "Well, you know, like how women after 35 there's increased risk. Is it the same thing with men's sperm?" And I told her that, you know, how the risk of Down syndrome goes up in women over 35. And I told her that in a way that it was wrong. I said it can raise the possibility of having a Down syndrome child. And someone caught that on my social media on YouTube and wrote, "It's not a Down syndrome child. It's a child with
Down
syndrome."
Yeah.
That's a very big difference. And I thanked her so much that she pointed that out, because we make mistakes like that all the time in medicine.
So you must get a lot of messages like this, because I get them too. Like, you know, it may be the trans community, and I was said something just casually that was somehow heteronormative or, you know, insensitive in that way. How do you respond to those messages?
Learn.
Yeah.
Learn. And apologize when you're wrong.
When you're wrong.
Yeah. I think that's like the biggest thing that I've learned in my life. Don't be quick to apologize.
Right.
And don't apologize just to appease somebody.
Right.
If you're wrong, apologize. If you're not wrong, stand up for yourself.
Right. One of the things I say is, you know, thank you for your perspective.
Yeah.
It's a perspective I didn't understand. And because if I disagree. I may not disagree, but I may say there's many ways of looking at this.
Sure.
Yours is one. So I'm not going to apologize to you for taking a different perspective, but I'm going to say thank you for sharing this with me, because now I have a better understanding.
Exactly.
And it comes up quite a bit in what we do. Yeah. So you did the curbside consult thing. I
sit with popular YouTubers to try and ask.
Yeah.
And look, that helps me grow my channel.
Of course.
It gives them something unique to talk about and answers their medical. It's like a free consult
with
the
doctor. Yeah,
so I try and reach. And also, I do a lot of the same like platforms and ideas that they already have on YouTube that are successful, like morning routine and nighttime routine.
Right.
But instead of talking about how I do my makeup or something not so beneficial,
right,
I talk about why it's important to have a glass of water or do some exercise and move around in the morning.
Masturbate.
Very
important.
Maybe at night. But in the morning.
TID.
TID?
I'm just saying.
QID.
I have a hotel room and I'm not afraid to use it.
In the standard.
If you guys want to visit. Yeah, if you guys want to visit.
I'm not going to say what floor.
Yeah, we won't say. They raised $193 for your...
Awesome.
So Limitless Tomorrow Foundation is his philanthropic organization helping people around the world. And we're glad that you guys raised a little money. Should we show them this hotel room?
Yeah.
Because it's like... You want to grab this?
Yes.
Yeah.
This is the DJ Osmo, right?
Yeah, the DJ Osmo. It's a great little gimbal.
Check this out. I'm going to give that
there
one more go.
Again. There it is. And there you go.
All right. So this is where all the magic is going to happen.
Oh, yeah. So much magic.
Look at that. Look at all that magic.
So much
and
magic.
Honestly... Tell me you're not jealous of his view. I have a pretty solid view of my place, but not like this.
Let's turn off the light and see if it can.
Oh, yeah, turn off the light, because that's totally appropriate with two men in a hotel.
World's sexiest doctor, people. No formal training.
Look at that beautiful view. And I wish I could show you guys the Empire State Building so you can understand how New York stands together in solidarity. The Empire State Building is pitch black this evening in memory of what happened yesterday with the awful experiences that the people had on the West Side Highway. But in continuing the tour, you have the bar in case some partying is going to happen.
There's no partying, but there is.
Oh, yeah. There's no partying, right?
Yeah.
I see your party supplies.
There's quite a bit. Comes with the place. Now, what is amazing?
I see cirrhosis.
Early cirrhosis. Let me turn this on.
Look at that.
I need more light over here.
Look at this tile. This is the kind of tile you want in a hotel room. Creepy black tile. Because if you want to have a shower, you have a shower here. You have the most awkward of a tub that you could still watch yourself in. This isn't a trick.
Wapner,
this is actually a mirror.
Wapner. Qantas. I mean, this what, this is...
Who is this made for?
It's made for me. Because look, I fit right in it.
It's really impressive. It's, because not only is there a tub, the shower actually just ends. There's no door.
It just boop, 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 boop. And then boop. You know what? I want to show them how a tall person actually fits in this space. So this is New York, where... Nothing is designed.
And this is a nice room, by the way.
This is a nice room.
You have like an upgrade.
I do.
They like you. So
they like me.
There's smaller rooms than this.
There are. Now look and at then, the look
wait
at the
for
toilet.
This. Look at that. This is the only room you could have some privacy in.
And it is a tiny little closet. I mean, pretty amazing.
Kevin Spacey was in there for the longest of
time. Oh, at least 7 minutes. Look at this. Two really creepy Jedi robes. His and his. For me really and nice. Dr. Mike.
Look at that.
Look at that. It's velvet inside.
Yeah, that's fancy.
Or down, or cotton.
That's fancy.
Something like really fancy.
Look at the standard etched in.
Yep.
That's really nice.
It's amazing. And this big old mirror. And again, like this futon-like bed. I mean, what could possibly go wrong?
Oh, look. And look, in case it's not enough for you, you have to pull out.
Oh, see, that's what really takes it to the next level.
See, we
should
have put ourselves on the monitor.
I know. We could have had seen the Facebook Live on that. Here, let's flip it back here. Gang. Whoa. Look what it's doing.
I probably broke you.
Oh, you know what? It got turned off. Here we go. Let's fix it. There it is.
Boom.
Well, that explains. Oh, you know why it's out of batteries? Because we went for so long. Guys, here, we'll sit down. We should wrap it up, huh? We've kind of been going for a while. Whoa, look at this
that's
thing.
That's what happens when you're having fun.
Dude. It's getting
romantic up there.
I know, it's getting romantic. I know, it's like, wow, 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 wow. We're two social media doctors. How dope is Dr. Mike, you guys? Like,
you guys have a good leader here.
I have a man crush on this guy.
I need to create a name for my pack.
Oh, the Mike pack? Or how about mitochondria? Let's see.
Mitochondria, like if they were medical people, but right. I think 99.9% will have no idea.
And even if they were medical people, they'd be like, "You're a nerd." Mitochondria.
So I just have to work on it.
Yeah, we'll come up with
all
something.
I have is the sexy doctor thing, and that's not. I'm kind of trying to move past that a little.
If you guys haven't figured out, that's not all that Dr. Mike has. Dr. Mike has a lot more than the sexy doctor thing. Although I like it as a hook, and I'm jealous of it. But he's going to do great things in the world. And look, that's Tom Heineber who said getting bromantic.
Oh,
up
who's
in.
That?
He's my producer.
Oh, hey Tom.
Hey Tom.
Tom, I appreciate you putting me in front of this man's face here because. While you were ready to rip me, you've created a bromance.
That's right. You wanted me to hate him. Instead, he's going to replace you as as my man partner. Guys, what a pleasure, man. Yeah, like, to be able to connect in your hometown, the greatest
basically,
city in the
world.
Basically,
I got to visit Vegas now.
Oh, yeah, So, actually, whenever you're there, let me know.
I've been to Vegas once for 12 hours to do Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Wow.
For charity. And then another time for the Mayweather fight.
Oh, yeah. I think I saw something on your Instagram of that. Not that I stalk you, but
that
I stalk you.
That was a cool fight. I'm a boxing fan, and that was like my first official boxing fight that I got to see.
Wow.
So it was really nice.
That was the Pacquiao fight?
No, that was the McGregor.
Oh, McGregor.
McGregor.
McGregor!
So it was his last one.
Oh, amazing.
Both of theirs, probably.
So, next time you're in Vegas, let me know, and we'll get you on the actual show with Tom and Logan, who are going to have a bromance with you as well. And I want the Z-Pack, if you don't follow Dr. Mike, please follow Dr. Mike. And if he talks any smack where you're like, you're being inauthentic, you guys smack
please,
him down, because he'll listen.
Yes.
Because he reads all his
I like that feedback.
And he answers his own stuff, and he does his own research.
We need to team up with Dr. Mike in this chair.
Oh, yeah. This is how it goes down, all right? Here, you stay sitting because I have to be taller than you for this one. Wait, let me unscrew this thing because it's failed. All right. Dr. Mike, I am your father. Just mad. And I'd be like...
Is there a skit that I'm supposed to
there's know a, there's a do? Skit that goes, Together, we can destroy Dr. Oz. He has foreseen it.
See, I didn't know that.
See,
I don't do the voice as good. See, that's your thing. That's like me saying, look, be the sexy doctor on camera right now.
Oh, I'll do it right now. You guys want to see nipple? I'll show you nipple, right? And you want to see nipple? I had so much fun, Dr. Mike. I hope you had fun too.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much.
We are going to sign off, hit share, follow Dr. Mike, contribute to his charity because it's awesome. And we out. Peace.